Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philippians. And I have in your bulletins an outline I hope you'll keep handy. The specific verses I'll be focusing on are Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. But I'm going to read a little bit more, bigger portion of that for our scripture reading. I'm going to read verses 12 through 20. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. This is the word of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does that matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Thus the reading of God's word as it comes to us this morning from Philippians chapter 1. If you are reading this morning, if you were following along in the King James Version, you may have noticed that as I read the scripture reading, verses 16 and 17 are reversed. The way I read it out of the version I'm reading, it first talks about the latter who preach Christ out of love, verse 16. And then in verse 17, it tells us that the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition. In the King James Version, these two verses are in reverse order. And one of the reasons for that is because the Greek translation that the King James uses has them in that particular order. Since that time, other translations have come to the conclusion that verses 16 and 17 should be the order that I read them, because we have discovered Greek manuscripts which are earlier and more reliable even than the ones that were available when that particular Greek text was used. And so we have them in the particular order in which I read them. But as you can see from your outlines, that is not the only reason the Greek manuscripts that we should see these verses in this particular order in which I read them, in which almost all translations have them. For as we look at the structure of these three particular verses, it becomes clear to us that Paul has structured them in a particular way so that we can see the pattern that he is making and greatly understand the message that he has for us. If you look at your outlines, you will see that in verse 15, Paul writes, "It is true that some preach Christ." Then if you look at verse 17 in your Bibles, and I didn't put this one in your outline, but you see where it says, "The former preach Christ." Verse 17, it starts out. And then notice verse 18. "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached." Clearly, Paul has a theme to these four verses. Christ is to be preached. At the beginning, the first thing he tells us, it is true that some preach Christ. In the middle of the passage, in the middle of these verses, he mentions that the former preach Christ. And as he concludes the main theme to these verses, he writes that Christ is preached. But as we see this structure and the fact that Paul is talking about the preaching of Christ, we notice that there are two particular ways that Christ is preached. In verse 15, we read that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others do so out of goodwill. Two particular methods of preaching Christ are mentioned. The first one is a bad method, preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry. The second one is a good method, preaching Christ out of goodwill. And if you notice in your outlines, I have marked that, A being envy, B being goodwill. Then as we move on through the text, you notice that verse 16 picks up on B. What does it mean to preach Christ out of goodwill, verse 16? The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. People who preach Christ out of goodwill preach Christ out of love for him. Verse 17 expands on those who preach Christ out of envy. Verse 17, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. This forms what we describe in the Greek language and in the Hebrew language as a chiasm. A pattern is being shown in the text. A, look on your outlines, A being the bad method, preaching Christ out of envy, B being the good method, preaching Christ out of goodwill. Then verse 16 is placed where it is to show the connection with goodwill, B, preaching Christ out of love, and finally, it concludes verse 17, preaching Christ out of selfish ambition. The A's are connected together, the B's are connected together, forming a beautiful X if you were to draw lines connecting them, and it demonstrates to us a particular pattern that Paul is making for us to see. But it doesn't stop there. For in verse 18, Paul continues on with his pattern. You can make a second X between verses 16 and 17 and verses 18. In verse 18, he writes, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or pretense, as I have in your outlines, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. You see, there are those who are preaching Christ out of envy, out of selfish ambition. There are those who preach Christ out of false motives. And there are those who preach Christ out of goodwill, love, and truth. Paul has set these verses in this particular order because he has a specific message and a specific pattern that he wants us to see. You see, there are two ways to preach Christ. And Paul sees it even in his day. Now, you must remember where Paul is and who he is writing to. Paul is writing to the Philippians. He finds himself in a Roman prison. He is suffering for the sake of Christ Jesus. And in verses 12 through 14, he writes about his sufferings that he experiences for the sake of Christ. He writes in verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. The Philippians are discouraged because Paul has been put in prison, but Paul writes that his prison sentence has served to actually advance the gospel. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ Jesus. Not only has Paul's imprisonment has served to advance the gospel, it has done it even to the palace guard. In fact, so greatly has this been seriously considered that we read in verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. You see, Paul's persecution, he recognizes, has served to advance the gospel. His enemies think they have caused the gospel to stop by putting Paul in prison, that by putting Paul in chains, no more Christ will be preached. But the opposite has happened. Not only has the palace guard heard of the gospel, but the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. But even at that, those brothers who are preaching the word of God more courageously and fearlessly, there are still difficulties. And in verses 15 through 18, he writes of these difficulties. You see, some are preaching Christ out of goodwill and love. Others preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. What does that mean, verse 15? Some are preaching Christ not because they love Christ so much, not because of the message that Paul is giving them. They preach Christ because they are envious of Paul and the ministry that God has given him. You see, Paul finds himself in prison for the sake of Christ. His message is that God's people are to identify with Christ and to live their lives for him. That they are to find everything that Christ has given them upon this earth greater than anything else. But there are those who do not like this message. There are those in the church who desire to preach something else. They preach out of envy. They see that their message is a rivalry with Paul and his message. They recognize that Paul's message is one of suffering. Paul's message is one of love for Jesus Christ. Paul's message is to find yourself in him and in heaven. Their message is built upon themselves, not the Lord Jesus. So Paul goes on and he writes, others preach out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. You see, there are those who are preaching out of love for Christ. As he concludes verse 16, he writes, they know that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Why is Paul in prison? Paul is in prison because he loves Jesus Christ. Paul is in prison because he is preaching Jesus Christ. Paul is in prison because he loves Christ. He wants God's people to know Jesus Christ. He wants the focus not to be upon himself, but upon Jesus Christ. Paul wants the church to be built upon the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. And because that is Paul's desire, because it is so evident in his life that he loves Jesus Christ and that nothing in this world matters but Jesus Christ, he's been put in prison like Jesus Christ. Paul is suffering like his Savior was suffering. And there are those in the church who want nothing of that message. They're embarrassed by that message. You're saying that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave means suffering for the church? You're saying that the church is not going to be triumphant on this earth through Jesus Christ? So they begin to develop a message which is contrary to Paul's message. They are envious of Paul's message. And they see themselves as in rival, a message that is in rivalry with Paul's. Verse 17, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. You see, there are those who are preaching Christ based on their own desires, based on what they want to accomplish, based on what they feel that they can be credited with upon this earth. Their desire is to not build up Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and who has been risen from the grave. Their desire is to preach Christ out of their own benefit, out of making themselves look good, out of trying to demonstrate what they have accomplished on this earth for the sake of Jesus Christ. They preach Christ out of selfish ambition. They are not sincere in their message and in what they are teaching. They desire, verse 17, to stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. They are embarrassed by Paul's message. Paul is in chains. You're telling people that they have to love Jesus Christ and serve him, and life might not be great for them? That the church may suffer for the sake of this message? That's not the message that we want to proclaim. We desire to proclaim a message of the church triumphant. We want to build the church around ourselves and our ministries and our personalities. We want to build the church on something other than Jesus Christ. Now, certainly they are preaching Christ. And as Paul concludes his message, he writes, "But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached." Paul is not saying that their ministry is ungodly. Paul is not saying that what they're doing needs to be stopped and destroyed. But Paul praises God. Paul praises God for this message, even though it is not as he would have it. Well, what does this mean? What does this mean for the church? You see, as we look at the contrast that Paul is making between those who preach Christ out of love, out of goodwill, out of truth, and those who preach Christ out of envy, out of selfish ambition, out of false motives, is not a contrast that has been concluded. But it is a contrast which continues until this very day. As you look at the history of the church, so often we see churches that start out well, but soon lose their focus. Sometimes people will ask me, "Well, what about some of these churches of long ago? These churches started during the Reformation. These churches in Europe with large buildings that were once thriving congregations built upon Christ and his word. Where are they now?" Sometimes people will ask me, "What about these great universities we once had in our country, the Harvards and the Yales, that were built upon the gospel and taught the gospel of Jesus Christ? What about these large Presbyterian churches that have huge buildings but no people in them anymore? What happened to those churches, to those ministries?" You see, Paul's message that he is making is not a message that does not relate to the history of Christ's church. This happens all the time. Churches lose their focus from being built upon Christ and his word and make their focus other things. They make their focus themselves, their leaders, their desires, what they hope to accomplish. As Paul is writing these words, he mentions three times to preach Christ. Preach Christ, verse 15. Preach Christ, verse 17. Preach Christ, verse 18. That's the foundation of the church. That's where the church must thrive out of, the preaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ. As Paul looks at the church, what is he hoping the church will do? Maybe we should have a seeker-sensitive service so that those who are afraid or may not understand the gospel will feel more comfortable coming into our church. Maybe we need to change the music. Maybe if we have music which will attract people that they can better identify with, people will come to our church. Maybe if we have a good youth program Or if we can do something so that we have two services, so that there's a youth service and an adult service. We've got to do something to keep the young people, so we've got to relate to what they're doing. Well, you know, those things have been tried before in the history of the church. Those things can be popular. Those things will sometimes attract crowds. But where is the focus? Preach Christ. That's the foundation of the church, and that's where the church must go. As the church preaches Christ, as God's people identify with Christ and live for Christ, the church has a foundation. Their lives have a foundation. Their motives are done out of love for Christ, out of goodwill for Christ. Their church is built upon the truth. If the church goes the direction of trying to build the church on something other than Jesus Christ, suddenly the church is built upon the person's ideas who thought of them. Those who are envious of Paul and his ministry focused on Christ. Those who are full of selfish ambition as they look at Paul in prison focused on Jesus Christ. Those who have false motives in what they're trying to accomplish. You see, Paul recognizes the problem even back in the days of the writing of this letter of Philippians. Paul recognizes where the church could go. Paul recognizes that the foundation that the church must have. Paul recognizes that through Jesus Christ alone and the preaching and the teaching of his word can God's people flourish and know him for years and years and years. That's why Paul writes these words. But as Paul sees these things and as Paul recognizes these things, he also is not discouraged, you see. As Paul concludes in verse 18, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. You see, Paul is not looking at those other churches, those other situations, those other men who preach Christ out of false motives, out of envy, out of selfish ambition. He's not looking at them and saying, well, they're not Christian. They're not preaching Christ. Paul continues to rejoice. And even though they do not have the foundation that Paul desires that they have, even though they may not be as faithful as Paul desires them to be, he does not see them as a threat or as something which should be declared ungodly. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because Christ is preached, Paul rejoices. And because of this, verse 18, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. In these four verses, Paul clearly contrasts for us something that will take place in the church throughout the history of its existence, from the beginning until this very day. Paul declares for us to see where the church should be centered. The church must be centered upon Christ Jesus. God's people must be drawn into their relationship with Christ Jesus. They must recognize that because they belong to Christ Jesus, they rejoice in him. They must recognize that despite the fact things may not go their way on this earth, because they have Jesus Christ, they need nothing else. That's Paul's message. And that's where the church must be and how the church must be built. And if the church is built upon that foundation, there will not be envy, selfish ambition, or false motives within that body. You see, as Paul has started out his letter to the Philippians, he has written to them and he has said in verse 5 of chapter 1, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul gives praise to God because he recognizes the Philippians are in the same situation he is. They, at the end of chapter 1, are suffering for Christ. Verse 29, it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. They experience the same thing that Paul experiences, and he describes them as his partners. Partners in Christ Jesus. But there are those also within the church who are not his partners. He does not condemn what they do as being ungodly, for he rejoices. But they are not his partners. The Lord Jesus Christ, through his apostle, is calling his church and his people to be partners, to live for Christ, to worship Christ, out of sincere love, out of sincere goodwill, based on the truth. As the church faces those around it who are full of selfish ambition and false motives, it is the duty of every Christian and of all of God's people to discern for themselves where they should be, where they should worship, where their focus should be. Jesus Christ preached faithfully. Amen. Father, as we as a congregation worship you, we pray that you would help us to keep our motives sincere. Lord, that you would help us to be a congregation which is built upon the Savior, whose foundation is Jesus Christ risen from the grave. Help us not to rival the message that you have sent to us in Jesus. Help us not to seek to accomplish our own things or to make a name for ourselves, but to only identify with our Savior, who has suffered and died, whose hope and glory is in heaven, not of this earth. And Father, we pray for those around us in various churches who do not love Christ and whose foundation is not him. We pray, Lord, that you would drive them to see the importance of knowing their Savior, of not following leaders, of not following those who lead them astray, but, Lord, to follow Christ alone and to live their lives for Christ alone. We pray, Father, that through your strength and through your grace, we alone, Lord, may focus on you and live for you each day of our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.